day that the planning committee for the procrastination club got together and put off their meeting until next week. And I think that describes what happens so many times relative to our work as far as time and money is concerned. It's not hard to do what we need to do in life with time and money as long as we do what we need to do every day. But if you ever get behind and put off, you've got a problem. I'm almost like the fellow that said, the hurrieder I go, the behinder I get. And I think that happens in so many of our lives. To illustrate to you how things can multiply and magnify to the extent that they become problems with time and money, I want you to think with me for a moment about the idea of shoeing a horse. How many of you own a horse? How many of you have ever ridden a horse? How many of you know how many legs a horse has? I'm going to get some hands up here in some way or another. Who knows how many nails it takes to put one shoe on one leg of one horse? How many? All right. Anywhere from 6 to 8. Let's use the 8 because that's what I'm using this morning. Is that agreeable? I think most of the shoes that are put on, and I never had any experience at shoeing a horse. We never had a horse on the farm. We had a mule, but that's in the same family, and they do have the same number of legs, so the principle will apply. If you've got 8 nails on one shoe and there are 4 shoes on the horse, then how many nails does that take to shoe a horse? 32? If the rest of you don't know it, you math majors should be able to work out that problem. 32 nails. Now I want to ask you something. I'm going to shoe your horse for you and you're going to pay me. Had you rather pay me $1,000 per nail or pay me 1 cent for the first nail and then double what you pay me for each nail thereafter? In other words, 1 cent and then 2 cents and 4 cents and 8 cents and 16 cents. Well, let's just make this interesting. Had you rather pay me $1 million for each nail? That'd be $32 million. Most of you wouldn't want to hire me like that, would you? If you do, I've never had any experience shoeing a horse, but if you want to hire me like that, call me. I'll get it shod for that. Had you rather pay me $1 million per nail or pay me 1 cent for the first nail and 2 cents for the next nail and 4 cents for the next? How many of you had rather pay me 1 cent for the first nail and go that route than to pay me $1 million per nail? All right. I'm beginning to wonder if my figuring is right because John Rickard disagrees with me. And when John Rickard disagrees with me, I begin to worry, Alan. But if I figured right, if you gave me 1 penny for the first nail and doubled it thereafter, John, it'd take $42,949,672.95 to shoe that horse. 1 foot? No, we're going to shoe the whole horse. We're going to shoe the whole horse. I tell you what, it does me good to know that John's not on the same wavelength I am this morning. John's one of the greatest mathematicians that we have, and if I figured out something and he didn't agree with me, we got to go back and look at that. But since he's only figuring on one foot, then we'll get along on that. The 25th nail would cost $167,772. And the 32nd nail by itself would cost over $21 million. Now let me ask you this. How many of you doubt what I've just said? I don't believe that. I expected several to doubt it. If you don't believe it, put the pencil to it. Now some of you wonder what we preachers do, you know, during the week. We don't have anything to do. We pick out things like that. I just wanted to let you know. But I wanted to share that with you to emphasize the point. When you let things go and you don't plan and keep things up to date, that's exactly what can happen. If you've got one little thing that needs to be done today and you don't do it, tomorrow it's going to multiply, at least add. And the addition progression is not as fast as the multiplication progression. But it's going to add up. It's not hard to get everything that you need to do done if you do it at the right time and plan your time in the right place. I'm convinced of this. And I know that you're not going to agree with me on this, but I'm convinced that just about all of us can get by on the money that we have if we'll do the proper plan.
I think I can speak from experience on this. Some of you university students are sitting there, especially those of you that are married, say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I do too. We got married between semesters my sophomore year. Moved into a little apartment over here on Barham Street, paying $35 a month with everything furnished. We left Fred Arthur and went on Tennessee Tech. And I got a job preaching up there, and I was making more than I'd ever made in my life. I was making $50 a week. Had to rent my own house. We found a house for $45 a month. The week we had to pay to rent the house, we didn't have much left. But we made it. We had four children. And Milton Tucker told me a while back that I did not take biology the same way he did when we were in school, because we had four that were only 4 years and 4 months between the oldest and the youngest. We had 1 year we did not have a child until we had our fourth child. That meant we had three in Christian college at the same time, two different years. I know from experience what some of you students are going through. I've been there. I know what you single students are going through. I know how difficult it is. One thing that you're facing today is that the cost just keeps going up and up. I don't know. I haven't put a pencil to it to figure out whether the cost is going up at a faster rate than the income. At the time when we were renting an apartment for $35 and a house for $45, the income was not as much. And when the income goes up, other things too, I suppose it would balance out. But I am convinced that the problem, when we say we don't have enough time and we don't have enough money, more times than not, it's not that we don't have enough, it's that we don't plan and use it in the right way. I wish my wife could speak to all of you married wives. One of the biggest assets that I've had down through the years as a preacher has been my wife, in more ways than what I'm talking about this morning, but especially in the area of finances and time. Judy is able to sew. You know, she knew how to cook when we got married. That's one of the reasons I married her. She knew how to do things. She saved dollar after dollar. We had three little girls at one time. There's no way we could have bought all the dresses that those little girls needed. Judy sold, my mother sold. We planned, we were able to make it. And I say to you, I'm convinced that this is where the answer is. I want to share with you some thoughts this morning from the scripture along this line. Turn back, if you have your Bible, first of all, to Exodus, the 21st chapter. In Exodus, the 21st chapter, there is a statement made that indicates to us how God looks at time. Time, sometimes, may be more important than money. The illustration of that, if you have a rich man that's very sick, the doctor tells him he only has a few days to live, how much of his money would he give for just a few more days? Time is so important. In Exodus 21:18-19, and if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not to keep his bed, he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time. He shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Now I'm sure there's several things those two verses that could be discussed. There's a lot said there, but I want you to concentrate on that little statement. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time. I believe that there are many people on the job today who would never think about stealing money and steal from the company nevertheless, because they steal their time. The person who is on the job and supposed to be working, who plans to try to kill a little bit of time and not use it in the right way, may be stealing from his employer in the same way as one who would take money or take property. Time is important. It is so important that God measures it to us a second at a time. We need to learn to plan our time. We can do more than we think we can if we do the proper planning. I suggest to you that everybody ought to have a calendar. I would suggest that you men have something like this and carry in your pocket all the time. I feel about half-naked if I don't have my calendar. Because my coat pocket just doesn't, it's too thin, it's not there, it's supposed to be there. A lot of times they even carry it with me to bed, put it on my nightstand. The reason I do that is I might get a call in the middle of the night, don't even know something about the time, and I've got my calendar there with me. Time is important. Go to the New Testament now, the two passages. 4 and verse 5 says about the same thing, walking wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We need to be careful about killing time. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood on this. I don't think God expects us to be slave drivers, to be working with our hands 24 hours a day. Even Christ used some of his time in solitude. But he did not kill that time. He did not waste it. Even the time that he used when he would get into a boat and go out away from the shore to be by himself for a little while, he wasn't killing time. He was using time. And when he went up in the mountains to pray, and maybe it takes some time, like you and I might go into the mountains to meditate or to pray or even to walk and get away to be by ourselves, that's not killing time. I believe we need to spend some time by ourselves and in prayer with God and meditation and thinking. I don't believe that Christ emphasized that it's wrong for us to use some time in recreation. In fact, I would have to admit to you that I probably need to use a little more time in that area of life. Take some time to get involved in other things. A person goes out and plays a game of golf or goes fishing for the purpose of recreating his life, not just to kill time, then even recreation itself can be worth a great deal. Anything that will help us to revitalize the body and the mind, to rekindle it, to use it in the right way, can be helpful. So I'm not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that we not have time for recreation, for enjoyment, or things of that nature. Certainly we need to the right amount of time to sleep. And this probably is a lesson that needs to be taught to all our newer students. We need time to sleep. God did not intend for the body to go 24 hours a day without ever slowing down. And you may not agree with me on this, but I'm convinced that you'll make better grades on a test if you'll do a reasonable amount of study and go to bed and get a reasonable night's sleep instead of staying up and praying. And if you'll plan, you won't have to train. Using time in the right way. Time is so important. Here are two or three suggestions that I would make that I believe can help us in the use of time. Every person, even including you that are homemakers or housewives, I think we prefer the word homemaker, needs a yearly calendar and a monthly calendar and a weekly calendar and a daily calendar. All those may be all same thing. I have over on my wall in the office, my study in there, a yearly calendar. I just told the secretary this last week to order one for next year. We're within a little less than 4 months of next year. I want that one up on my wall where I can see it. I don't know what will work for you. There may be things I'm talking about this morning that we need to make personal application. I use the colors. On my calendar, I mark a blue line across all the days where I have an obligation to speak during the year. I mark a red line across it if it has to do with things that are happening at Free Garden. I mark a green line across it if it has to do with something that involves the associate minister or other members of the staff to know when they'll be gone and won't be in the office. In fact, I use that red line not only for Free Hardeman, but for the local church here. Anything that's going to happen is a planned event. For example, the student lectureship is coming up, which I believe is going to be one of the greatest things we've had here. I have a red line across those dates. I have a red line across February for the lectureship at the college. I have a red line across when our vacation Bible school will be. I'm in the Lions Club, and our color of that is yellow, so I have a yellow line across each date that has to do with that. Now, the reason I've got this is, see, I don't even have to get up out of my chair to look at that calendar and see what's going to be going on. I might not be able to see all the things that I've written over there, but I can see those colors. So I can look at that calendar on my wall. I can look at that entire year, and just in a moment, I can have before me there everything that's planned for the year. As soon as I get the next calendar that'll go on the wall, I'll do the same thing. I have a calendar on my desk that shows the month. I carry one in my pocket that shows a month. And everything that comes up, I got it down on that calendar. Now you're going to sit there and say the reason I'm doing that is I'm getting a little older and forgetful. Well, some of you might go with our and you're forgetful too. But jot down and plan what's ahead. Know what you're going to do for the month. I know basically what's ahead for the month of October. I can look when I'm going to be out of town, when I'm going to be in town. I know when there are events at the school. I know obligations that I've already committed myself to be involved in those. I know ahead of time in planning. That saves me a great deal of time. Then I try to make it a practice in the morning when I come into the office to sit down the first thing and make a list of what has to be done that day. And I believe in this with all my heart. I believe that you women who work at home, and those of you who are homemakers, it's not that you don't work, you just work and don't get paid. But those of you that work at home, if you'll take 15 minutes at the first of the day and plan what you're going to do during the day, you'll get it done and have to leave your time. If you don't plan it, you'll spin your wheel going from one thing to another and get to the end of the day and won't have everything done. It will work. And I believe these are Bible principles. Pay for the loss of time, redeem the time, that means we've got to do some planning. James 4:13 through 15 indicates this. Go to now, he that say today or tomorrow, we should go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And you see the principle there? I mentioned the yearly calendar. That even mentions a year. We're going to go in and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's a businessman's approach. What are we going to do for the next year? The IRS encourages you to keep records. And what I'm talking about this morning, if you'll look at things that I just mentioned in the last few minutes, on time and money, when you get to the end of the year, all you've got to do is go back and look at your records. You've got everything ready to fill out your income tax. Instead of losing his sleep along about April 13th, 14th, and 15th, if it comes on Sunday so that you get in by the 17th, I think that was the case this year, was. If you'll plan ahead and use your time, there's no benefits that will be reaped. And then you'll have time to do other things that you want to do. It will work. I know it will work. I divide my activities during the day into three categories. Now, my organization is a little bit crude sometimes, but it works for me. I don't care what you think about it, as long as it works for me. I divide my activities into the musts, the shoulds, and the coulds. That's not CUDS. There are some things today that I must get done. Oh, if I die, I probably won't get them done, but if I'm in intensive care, they probably won't be much, no matter. But on a normal day, there are just some things today that I must get done. I planned this morning to preach today to teach time, although I hadn't planned until last night to preach to teach this class. And I plan to preach at 10, and I plan to preach at 6 tonight. There's just some musts on Sunday that you have to do. Henderson's the only place I've ever lived to put in a 40-hour work week on Sunday. And you have to do some planning. Now, there are some other things today that should be done. I already have in my mind some things that I'd really like to get done today that should be done, and they come after my musts. And then there are some other things that could be done. And those that are the coulds might be done tomorrow or next day if I have to, if I don't get to them. I really believe if you learn to divide your activities into those three areas, that it will help. There are some things that must be done. Now, students, this will work in your classes. And your teacher is going to charge you, PD. I'm not charging you this morning. I'm giving you this free of charge. It'll work. You plan your class for the entire semester. You look at that whole semester. And there are some things that you need to do back here at the first and here at the center and on down at the end. And every student in here knows what will happen if you put off that paper to write at the end. But if you go back up here, you do something here. If you've got one paper that's due at the end of the class, sit down and plan you a schedule. I want the subject chosen by such a date. I want the outline in hand by such a date. I want the rough copy by such a date. And I want the finished copy by such a date. And always back up that deadline for that finished copy at least 1 week before it's really due. Because if you've got a few days there, and then if you get sick, you've got a few days to work with. And it's just as easy to do that as it is to wait for the application to do it all. Using your time, planning your time in the right way. Your must, there are some things that need to be done. Now think about tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. Some of you will be going to work, but some of you will be going to class. You've got some classes tomorrow that you must attend. You've got some other things that you must do. You've got some other things then that are second in nature that you really should do tomorrow. And then you may have some things that you could do. Now here's what will happen. If you don't plan, you'll get up at out to get you. He said, the other elders didn't know about it. I said, sir, how did you know the phone? Well, he said we had a copy of the letter in the files. But you see, whatever happened there, I had my records. I had my plans. I knew where to go back. And it saved me a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. Plan the use of your time. We may not be alike as far as money is concerned. We are alike as far as time is concerned. Every one of us has 24 hours today. Every last one of us who's in this audience this morning has 24 hours in this day. We have the same amount of time. And it's how we use it that will determine whether or not we are successful. Now I want to get on money for just a moment. And those of you that are in my class downstairs, we're going to come back to this. I want to talk a little bit more about money, but I'm going to have time to talk about it this morning. I have time to talk about mine this morning, but not talk about subjects like that. If you would like to. Money is just like time. It doesn't make any difference how much income you have. If your output is more than your income, you've got problems. One of the first lessons that young people need to learn is to live within their income. Somebody is going to pay for everything that you get somewhere down the line. Unless somebody gives it to you. Unless you inherit $1 million. You're going to have to do some thinking about how you use money. Money is not evil. The love of money is. Money is a medium of exchange. Even the Lord's work cannot be carried on without money. In the early history of the church, we began to talk about, let's pool our funds, let's give, let's have the means to carry on the Lord's work. It's just a fact. There has to be some medium of exchange. Whether it's like some of our older gospel preachers who were paid in vegetables and chickens, or whether it's like it is today, whether you trade with someone and you work for him and he gives you what you need, you barter back and forth, or whether you deal with a greenback, it's the same principle. There has to be some means of exchange. There's a principle in 1 Peter 4 or 1 Corinthians 4:2 that says that we're to be good stewards. And that's really what we are. You know, I don't own a penny as far as the reality of it is concerned. God's just entrusted me with some while I'm here on earth. There is no pocket in a shroud. You can't take any money with you when you leave. I heard an amusing story about five Jewish brothers. Their father died and they all wanted to do something show their respect, and so four of them went up and put a $10 bill in the casket. The fifth one wrote a $50 check, but he managed to took out the four tens. Now, if you don't understand that, I suppose I'll explain it to you. But nothing that we have is we're going to take with us. It's how we use it. Money is only important as it's able to be used. I've seen some of the happiest people in this world who never had a lot of this world's goods. But they knew how to use it, and knew how to use it in the right way. That's what it's all about. I want to go back and emphasize that point a moment ago. Learn to live within your income. I cannot overemphasize that. Back when our children were teenagers and growing up, our son came in one day. He said, Dad, I've decided how to make a lot of money. I was even interested in that. He said, I want to go down to the bank and borrow so many $1,000s. And put it on interest and draw the interest on that. And all that interest that I'll draw, I'm just going to make a lot of money. I said, son, what about the interest you're going to pay to borrow the money? He said, have fun about that. And that's what most young people don't think about, is the interest that you're going to pay on money that you borrow. Anytime you're using something that belongs to somebody else, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay yearly for it. Sit down sometime and take your pencil and figure up if you want a new automobile. You probably go buy one tomorrow. I'm sorry to say today. Let's put it off for tomorrow. Probably buy and finance 100% if you have a good credit. And that one payment doesn't look too big. You start thinking about the fact that thing's going to come around 60 times, 60 months. And that long is going to make you go through three hardened. At least don't try. 60 months. And you figure out the amount of interest. You figure up buying a house for $50,000 and pay it off in 30 years, you figure up the total of how much money you're going to have to pay on. Now take you another route on your car. You may not be able to do this when we're younger. Sometimes you have to borrow in order to have the things that you need. But if you start saving, and you save the money and put it on interest and have the money when you buy the car, the difference is going to be about 20%. You'll figure it all up. That makes a big difference. I've did this young couple back 2 years ago, when I went into their house, they had a new house. They've been married 2 years. They've been able to purchase a new house. And I went into the new house, and when we went into the living room, there was not a piece of furniture in the living room. I already thought a great deal of that couple. Because I knew something about it. Instead of going down to the store and spending thousands of dollars to buy what they wanted and putting it in the living room, they were working on the principle, we'll save it up and we'll buy one thing, then we'll save it up and we'll buy something else. I was already impressed with that couple. Went in to eat, they just barely had enough chairs to put around the table. They purchased the things that they had. They were working on that principle we had in the time a few minutes ago. Must, should, could, buy your musts, then your shoulds, then your coulds. And I'll tell you something, and let me address this especially to you young marrieds. You're the ones that are facing some more difficult times with money right now. You'll find that if you'll use this kind of planning, before long you'll be able to get some of those goods. And if you don't plan, you will spend the rest of your life wishing you could get all the money. The key to this is in planning. I know it is. I read a little book back some time ago that was written by a young denominational preacher. I wouldn't agree with some of the doctrine that he was teaching, but I agree wholeheartedly with the plan that he said that he used. He said when he and his wife got married, they sat down and talked about it, and here's what they decided to do. They said, we're going to give 10% of everything we make to the Lord. Number two, we're going to save 10%. T.J. Jackson, you know, tell them to check the edges. It might be on there. Maybe a serious need to get touched. Now, back to the line of thought. I'd get back to this better if I'd made another one stop. This young man, I know what this one is. This young man said they decided we're going to give 10% to the Lord. We're going to save 10% of every check that comes in. Now, that's not easy when you don't have that. But he said, we're going to give 10% to the Lord's work, we're going to save 10%, and we're going to enjoy spending every penny of the other 80%. I sort of like sanity. In other words, we're going to put God first, and then we're going to save and be ready for those things that we need, and then we're going to pick that other 80%. I don't have any dollars that would have been. They have not been many. But he said, we're going to enjoy that. I believe that's the way life is going. And if you will start out saving just a little bit, everything that comes in, you'll be surprised how many things you can do on down the line. I read another article the other day in a bulletin that impressed me. A young mother and a family where both the husband and wife were working quit work in order to house a new baby. She was a minister's wife. And after the baby was born and had grown for a few weeks, she was planning to go back to work. She said, I got my pencil and paper out, got to figuring and decided it cost me money to go back to work. She said, I decided if I'd plant a garden, and I know a lot of young women don't want to plant a garden, but if I'd plant a garden and grow some vegetables and plant those vegetables and freeze them, and I'd learn to sew to where I could make my clothes and the clothes for the baby, and there are some young ladies that are good enough that they can make even a suit for their husband. My mother has a pedal Singer sewing machine, one of those old pedal sewing machines, and she made these coats. She didn't make this one, but she made one that looked just about as nice as this one. She can go to a store and just look in the window and see a dress and go home and cut her out a pattern and make it on that old Singer sewing machine. She made the wedding dress for our daughter when she got married on that old pedal sewing machine. Now, if you took her electric one, it's probably good thing. But this young lady said, I decided I'm going to make my clothes for the baby, and I figured out how much it would cost me to go to work, and how much it would cost me to buy some extra clothes, and how much it would cost me to buy my lunch at work. And she said, I can stay home and have more money. Now, I don't know whether that would work in every case, but here's the point. If you'll learn to plan, and learn to do what you can with what you got, and learn to live within your means, you'll be surprised how much you'll have. The you won't believe me, really, on that 32 nails with you and the horse you sit down and look at. Some of you that are in financial planning know that this is true. A young man about 22 can open an IRA and put an amount in it every month until he's 30 and quit. Another young man can start at about the time he's 30 and go till he's 65 and quit, and they both have about the same thing as time of 65. You won't believe me. appreciate the opportunity to talk to you this morning. Alan, some of these principles may be important to all the students that are in here. Those of you that are in the auditorium class, just go back again next week. All of you married students, those of you that are